Welcome to Everyday Christianity, where we explore how the principles of Christianity impact our everyday lives. Join us as we delve into the timeless wisdom of the Bible, applying its principles to build stronger relationships, find purpose in our careers, nurture thriving families, and deepen our connection with God.
Hey, welcome back to Everyday Christianity. I'm Steve Wood. I'm the pastor of Mount Pisgah Church. We welcome you. I'm joined today by Ricky and Mickey and Dwayne and Ray. Doesn't that sound like an awesome foursome as we continue to unpack the truth of God's Word? And more importantly, not just to talk about how that applies, but to very practically consider how we live that out in daily application in family, with friends, and workplace in real ways. So we're excited today to begin to launch into the Lenten season and as we move towards Easter. And one of the things that we've been talking about that affects all of us and is certainly prevalent in our culture is death by comparison. And when you move into a comparative Christianity mode, there aren't many wins. I'll be very frank with you. It doesn't matter if you're clergy, layperson, young, old, single, married. Comparative Christianity, you can always find someone who's doing better, making more, more mature, whatever, and it just is not a very healthy thing. But you know what? The good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ is that the Bible addresses that, and Ray has a scripture for us. It was Paul's instructions to the church at Galatia, and Ray, you're going to share that with us.
Thank you, Pastor. Yeah, Galatians 1:10 says, For am I now seeking the approval of man or of God, or am I trying to please man? If I were still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ. And when I read this, I remember a couple years ago, I was asked to speak at an event. And I remember before the event, I was praying and asking the Lord, what would you have me say? And I remember going through my study and got ready to prepare, get ready to speak. And I said, Lord, I just pray that afterwards that you get all the glory, that no one would really come up and say, hey, Ray, you did a great job, and pat me on the back. Sure enough, gave my message, which I thought was pretty good. Sure enough, afterwards, it was ghost.
The Lord answered your prayer.
He answered my prayer, and I had my little pity party thinking, golly, I wonder if I did as good as I thought I did. Yeah. So then the Lord reminded me, remember the prayer you prayed? I've answered it. But I mean, that's just so how human I am and how human we are, is that sometimes we want that approval of man, and we don't need that. God has already affirmed us and approved us, but we just have to work through that and realize that Christ is my identity and not what I do, not what I earn, what I own, that I am in Christ, and that's enough. But again, I wrestle with that on a regular basis.
So yeah. Our culture does us a disservice in applying this from a positive aspect. It's a very negative aspect, but boys, from the time we're little, we are on a comparative mode by nature. Who's the fastest? Mm-hmm. Who's the strongest?
Yeah, right.
Who's the tallest?
Who's the smartest?
Yeah. And you know, I'm a product of that.
Yeah.
I remember telling people, it was like, I used to tell people, yeah, I knew exactly where I stood every day, because every day you went down to the locker room and there was a depth chart, mm-hmm. and the depth chart said exactly where you were.
Are you talking about when you played football? Yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
There was a depth chart. Lie. It was a reality.
It was. There were people who were sitting there judging you every day, and so mm-hmm. you get conditioned to comparing and contrasting, yeah. and even our government today does it. I have a friend, my good buddy Jeff. We are high school buddies, and we talk about this a lot, how they're always trying to segment us and divide us and pit one gender, race,
right.
monetary. They're always trying to compare and contrast. And even these things that we take these polls and try to, they get data from it. They're mm-hmm. looking to divide and create wedge items. How do we create wedge items between all these people? Mm-hmm. And I believe that's the essence of the comparing. And it's not other men, as Paul's telling us. Is he really doing it for men, or is he doing it? He wants to be pleasing to God. Mm-hmm. We should all strive to be pleasing to God. Mm-hmm. God, wherever you want me, that's mm-hmm. where I want to be today. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Lead me there. Show me the way. That's where I want to be. But golly, it is difficult, mm-hmm. difficult. Ricky?
Yeah. I really like what you said, Pastor Steve, how it doesn't lead to a good place. You know, being a pastor and someone who's planted a church, I'll never forget one of our mentors before we planted, he told us, he says, one of the things you guys need to do, maybe even for the first year, stay off social media. Mm. He said, because you're going to preach and you're going to bomb one Sunday and you're going to open up Instagram and the guy down the street baptized 900 people that morning.
Exactly.
He said, you are going to compare. He said, but here's what I believe. I believe that faithfulness does lead to fruitfulness, but we do not get to determine how much fruit. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think faithfulness leads to fruitfulness. Mm. We don't get to determine how much fruit. Mm-hmm. You know, we'd love to have 1,000 acres of crops and just look at all that God has done, but I would rather be faithful than living in a very destructive and unhappy place. Mm-hmm. Of comparing when I really need to worship and lead for an audience of one.
Mm-hmm. Today, I'm not kidding. Today, on my walk this morning, I was thinking about Jeremiah, and I was thinking mm-hmm. about exactly this thing. Jeremiah had not one convert.
Yeah,
he preached. He was told to preach, and God told him, "You're going to preach and be obedient, and nobody's going to mm-hmm. respond. Nobody mm-hmm. is going to answer."
Yeah, mm-hmm.
And yet he was faithful.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And he was faithful, and now we're blessed by the writings mm-hmm. that he gave him.
That's a really good point. The prophets, the true prophets of God, came with a warning and a rebuke. Uh-huh. They weren't looking for approval.
No.
Yeah, they were inviting being thrown in a well
mm-hmm.
yes. or beheaded or tarred and feathered, whatever. When Paul addresses the church there at Galatia, it's interesting that he asked this. It's not a rhetorical question. It's an actual real question. So are we seeking the approval of man or of God? That would tell us something about the social culture and the status of the church at Galatia. Now, you guys know that in the biblical times, and even in today, especially in many cultures across the world, especially Africa, Korea, Asia, India, it's a shame honor culture.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And man, if you don't approve whoever, mm-hmm. or if you don't please whoever you think needs to approve your work, then you get thrown in the shame bucket. Or mm-hmm. you throw yourself there. Mm-hmm. All right, but I want you to consider this. You remember when Jesus was baptized by John in the Jordan, I'm preaching this passage this weekend, in fact, when he came out of the water, God said, "Well done, good and faithful servant." You remember that?
Mm-hmm.
No, you don't, because that's not what he said.
No, he said, "This is my son."
He said, "This is my beloved son,
in whom I'm well pleased."
So just think about this, that before this was the beginning of Jesus' ministry. This is before he did a miracle. This is before he did anything. God takes approval off the table and says, "You're my son, mm-hmm. I love you," and that's not negotiable. That's done. That's our identity in Christ.
You know, it's interesting you say that, because there's two times that occurred, at the baptism and also at the transfiguration.
Yes.
God affirmed, "This is my beloved son." And of course you say, well, did Jesus really need that approval? Of course he was God, but But that tells you that we need to gain our acceptance from God the Father, mm-hmm. and not from man, like you said. And, yeah. and I remember several years ago being at a sales conference, and I have an insurance agency, and everybody they had all the big wigs get up there and beat their chest and tell them all the volume of insurance and all the commissions that they're earning. And I just walked out of that weekend just thinking, I am such a small little fish. Mm. I just felt so worthless because, mm-hmm. I mean, these guys are posting numbers that I can't even compete with. Mm. And I started thinking, you know what? I don't need to compete at that level. I don't. I need to do what God has called me to do. He's given me this bucket of clients and this bucket mm-hmm. of premiums, bucket of commissions, mm-hmm. and I'm to steward that the best I can. Yeah. But again, it was intimidating, to be in that big environment. I think this is an issue. The reason I wanted to bring this up today is this is an issue we deal with every day. There's somebody going to have bigger, better, nicer, this, that, and the other. Yeah. And we have to be comfortable who we are in Christ to be able to overcome those situations and say, you know what, that's fine for them, but that's not for me.
Right.
And be comfortable with that and live with that.
Yeah. I like what you brought up, Dwayne, about the prophet Jeremiah. I heard a pastor say, popularity has killed more prophets than persecution. mm-hmm. And popularity is a drug that today, oh my God, it creates addicts, not disciples.
Mm. Yeah.
And so it destroys you from the inside out. And so, Jeremiah, we have his writings, it's true. Yeah. There's something there, but not one convert, like you said.
Yeah. Yeah, real quick, I want to sideline this, but Ezekiel, again, I was another major prophet. And listen, this is what God called him to do, because God's going to call us to not compare ourselves. God's going to call us to a unique path. Listen just real
quick, what
Ezekiel was called to do. During his ministry, God told him to lie on his side for 390 days, during which he could not eat only one 8-ounce meal on a meal cooked over manure. He shaved his head and beard and showed no sorrow when his wife died. I mean, that was what God wanted for him. Now, is that comparison of what other prophets were doing? No, but God's going to call us to do something unique that other people aren't doing, and that's why we need to break through this comparison trap.
There's more to it. Go read and what Ezekiel asked God. It wound up being manure, but that's not where it started. Okay.
No, you're right. So, it started with something else.
But I want to go back to what Pastor Steve said about, because I believe there's a lesson here that we, the church, need to understand and hear clearly and help those who may not quite understand it as clearly, but God accepted Jesus before he did anything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We are accepted. We have to come to grips to that. Why do we please God instead of pleasing men? We are accepted. He first loved us while we were still his enemy.
Amen.
And sinners. We mm-hmm. don't do anything to deserve anything. Mm-hmm. He accepts us. He loves us. How amazing is that?
Yeah, in terms of applying this, it's a good word, Dwayne. And as we move towards the closure of today's podcast, we'll continue this conversation, but I think we're on to it. And for practical help for our listeners today, listen, the flesh is always going to desire more significance. Mm. It's an addiction to the flesh. Mm-hmm. It will never be satisfied in the flesh. And so that's why it's so vitally important that we develop a life in and with Christ that's spiritually alive, because all of our needs are already met there, and we don't have to cave, yield, or settle for second best on the desires of the flesh. So we'll get into further joys of comparative Christianity, parenting, child raising. We can even compare sons and daughter-in-laws. Some of us are in that domain, and that's a joy too. They all are children of God and have great gifts. So we want to leave you with a word of encouragement. If we can help you in your discipleship journey, feel free to reach out to us at mountpisgah.org, at the website, or at everydaychristianity at mountpisgah.org, and we'll be happy to try to walk with you, encourage you, and better yet, help you find a small group that helps bring joy and application to your life. Till we meet again, God bless you, and talk to you soon.
If you found value in today's episode, don't forget to subscribe and share the podcast with your friends and family. For any questions or feedback, feel free to reach out to us at everydaychristianity@mountpisgah.org, and you can find all the relevant links in the show notes. Until next time, God bless.